we'd be tired. You divide 3,000 by 12, you're looking at about, what, $2,500 apiece, thereabouts. And I'd like to have my arm sore. Amen. I really would. Yes, but but there was a revival going on in Jerusalem. Not only were they baptized, but they did something unique. They fellowshiped together. Lots of churches meet, but they do not fellowship together. The fact that you folks walk around here and greet everybody is a sign of your love for Christ and fellow believers. Amen. And welcoming our visitors. We're so thankful that God brings us visitors. We should not never take that for granted. Now, I can tell you as a pastor, I don't want to steal another church's members. I've fought that all my life. I didn't want anybody to steal from the church that I was pastoring, and I don't try to take other people's members. We need to reach a community that is not attending the house of God. That is our responsibility. But the unique thing that they did, they prayed. A church, in my opinion, is a reflection of the prayers of the people inside these doors. God hears every prayer. God records every prayer. And God answers prayer. It may not be the way that we like it, but God answers prayer. And because they prayed so hard that the community feared, a godly type fear, because God was doing something they hadn't seen before. If you trace the history of the Bible between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there was no prophet in Israel for almost 400 years. Theologians call it the silent 400 years. And then when Simeon and Anna had their prayers answered, and they saw John the Baptist, it was a new beginning of the New Testament and the discontinuing of the Old Testament. So things were beginning to happen in Israel. And then when the Lord came and started his ministry, people started going in droves to hear the Lord speak, and that upset the religious crowd. A religious crowd that wants to keep the same old, will get upset when change starts to happen and people start coming in and they don't line up just exactly like the old guard. God has a way of uniquely joining new people into the house of God, and whenever there's a revival, there's always something different going on. Doctrine is still the same. People are different. Some of you are a little bit older than I am, and I won't pick on anybody, but we've seen a lot of change in our lifetime. Dylan, when you get as old as we are, you're going to see a heck of a lot of change. Technology changes this world so fast, I'd be scared to live when you're 75. The world's going to change. Unless the Lord comes back. And we're living in a time when he may come back. But the community feared. But there was unity in the church, and they prayed together. They praised God together. But the interesting thing is they kept on witnessing. They weren't satisfied with just 3,000 people, but they kept on witnessing. That's our admonition. We cannot be satisfied with the past. We can't be satisfied with the present. God has a work for us to do now. And God will enable every one of you to do a portion of that work. God has that ability. If we will listen and obey, God will use us. That's my introduction. I'm joking here. No, I'm not. It is the introduction. But in chapter 3, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, that's 3:00 in the afternoon. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they lay daily at the temple, at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms, or ask, beg for money, from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave him his attention, expecting to receive something from them. I think the thing that I want to drive home here is, come to church as you are. Be real. Don't be hypocritical. Be real. Who you are. If you're laden with sin, great. God can bring relief. If you're burdened about whatever, bring it to God. God can give you comfort. If you come expecting God to hear from God in your heart, God will speak to you in your heart. But you have got to be able to come by faith expecting God to do something unusual, not for everybody else, but for you. That God can use you in his world to make a difference for Jesus Christ. In verse number 1, we see that they met for prayer. Prayer, I cannot emphasize enough, prayer changes people, changes you, changes churches, changes communities. Prayer is the root of every revival recorded. America has seen a number of revivals. In the 1700s, there was 2 dramatic revivals. In the 1800s, there was several more. In the 1900s, there were several more. God wants people to come to Jesus Christ. Amen. And people come to Jesus Christ because you pray and because God answers prayer. But not only do you pray, but you must invite. Take time to invite people to the house of God. They met for prayer. Verse number 2, I want you to see, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms. How many thousands of people had walked past this crippled man over his years? Some threw in some change. Most did not. But he came expecting help. But on this day, something unique happened. See, God works unexpectedly. If we're faithful, God will work in a unique way, in a powerful way, in a way beyond your imagination. But God is looking for willing people who will be submissive to him, who will obey him, who will put him first in their lives. God is looking for individuals that will do that as an individual because they want to know God better, personally, and in a way that is satisfying to their soul, but yet creates a hunger deep within inside of every individual. You will never be, quote, spiritually fully mature. You always have room to grow spiritually. God has a work for you to do as long as you have breath. Whenever I say that, I always think of a friend of mine, Zach Finch. He's been with the Lord, probably days, decades. He pastored a small church that had reached its zenith and was going downhill. He had a certain biblical doctrine that most Baptists shed. And he was somewhat isolated. But the man could pray. Even on his deathbed, and he was put in MCV probably the last 2 weeks of his life. But you know what? He led a nurse to the Lord. He never gave up. I don't care how old you are or what your condition is, God has a work for you to do. And God's willing to use you if you're willing to be used. But come as you are, but come sincerely. Don't come hypocritically. God doesn't like hypocrites. Come in the simplicity of your faith. You don't have to be, quote, a giant and walk on water. Just come as you are. And then when you come as you are, be willing to share what you have. And most of us think, well, that's money. Look what Peter said in verse number 6. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. You don't have to be financially rich to be spiritually rich. But what you have, if you have nothing else but the power of prayer, you can change people. You can change community. This community, in my opinion, is ripe for a heaven-sent revival. I have prayed off and on over the years that I would see one true revival. I've never seen a true revival. I've never seen where people just flock to the house of God. Jonathan Edwards, a preacher in the 1700s, preached in such a way, it was described in a book, that people held on to the back of the pew in front of them for fear of falling into hell. Jonathan Edwards is famous for a sermon called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. He was a manuscript preacher. He wrote his entire sermon out and read it. But here's the thing. He had poor eyesight. And when he read his sermons, he had to hold it like this so he could see. And speaking like this, people are holding on for fear that they were going to go into eternity. Why? Because he spent 13 hours a day in prayer and Bible study at one point in his life. Amen. That's what started a revival. It wasn't even in his own church. He was visiting another church and just had that sermon tucked away. He'd never preached it before, and he was asked to speak unexpectedly. And that started what is called the Great Awakening. God works in mysterious ways when we put our faith in God. Share what you have. Give God the chance to lead you in a new territory. And something that you've never done before. Now, for introverts like me, God had to open my mouth And he had to stop my legs from shaking. When I first started preaching, I literally held on to this thing because my legs shook so bad. I've always had problems with my voice. But God somehow will use the weak things for Jesus to be strong. That is something, that is a Bible truth that I have claimed and hung on to all my life. Because I qualify as the weak thing. But God will enable every believer who's willing to step out by faith and just open their mouths and talk about Jesus. He has that ability. So, as God leads you, put your faith to the test. Put your faith to the test. Those things that you've never done before, those things you've never seen before, expect God to work in your life. Your individual voice counts, bottom line. It makes a difference in eternity, the way that you speak and the way that you pray. Your words are meaningful. They have a way of chasing somebody for the rest of their life. They have a way of putting it on the hard drive, so to speak, that keeps replaying in a person's mind in a convicting way, in a challenging way, in an encouraging way. God wants to use you as an individual. When Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. I'd like to have been standing over the side and saw that. I like to see Peter just reach down, and that man, like, he grabbed hold, but he didn't know what to expect, and he pulled him up, and on the way up, his ankles and his received strength, and he could stand. And it amazed the recipient. I don't think it amazed Peter, because he expected by prayer and by faith that God would do something. But when the man stood up, he was leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Can you imagine the joy of this man walking for the first time in his life? For the first time in his life, he was able to enter the temple of God. For the first time in his life, he knew that God had worked in his life and prayed, and his prayers had been answered. He knew that God had done something miraculous in his life, and he was thrilled beyond description. So many times when God works in our lives, we forget to take time to praise him and to thank him. I just relate a small miracle to you. You may think it's insignificant, but when I was walking down that baptistry, I had told Dylan there's only three steps. I didn't see that fourth step. It was quite a surprise to me, to be honest. Because if I had fell with them wading boots on, I'd still be in that baptistry. Because I'd never be able to climb out of those things filled with water. That was a miracle. Can you swim, Dylan? You would have to rescue me if I went under. But God has a way of doing miracles. Maybe they may be small in the eyes of man, but God intervenes. The recipient had to be willing to be helped. He was praising God. He was looking forward to what God was doing. He was. When new converts, new believers, come to know the Lord, they've experienced that change in life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Life becomes new. But life becomes new in such a way that we need spiritual guidance along the way. And we look to individuals that we respect to help us along the way. But individuals that we respect can only carry us so far. We must get in the Word of God and let the Word of God teach us. I've been very fortunate that I've learned to read the Word of God. I made the Bible part of my life for decades. It enriches my life. It's like I eat food every day, okay? I get up in the morning, I want to eat. Lunchtime, I want to eat. In the afternoon, I want a snack. At supper time, I say supper rather than dinner, I want to eat. I'm old enough, I can't eat too much after supper because it just haunts me the rest of the night. So I've learned how to eat a lot during the daytime and not at night. One of the good things about being old is I've been able to lay aside the bowl of ice cream at 9 o'clock at night. That was a real experience. But I've also lost about 20 pounds because of it. God has a way of taking care of us. But see, not only does a new convert need help, we as God's people have a responsibility to mentor people in the things of God. Let me say that again. Christians have a responsibility to help other Christians mature in the things of God. When we neglect that responsibility, churches stagnate. Our own spiritual lives stagnates. Our spiritual productivity diminishes. We need to be involved in helping people. You never know what God will do in answer to your prayer. Those of you visiting with us, close your ears for a minute, okay? This week, in my prayer time, if I can visualize your face, I may not know your name, but I'm going to take you to the Lord. That's part of who I am. There was a visitor last week who was not here today, that I have prayed every day for that individual. They need, my opinion, someone to hold them up in prayer. If God lays it on my heart to do so, then I am unwise if I fail God. We have a responsibility spiritually, not just to attend the house of God, but to lift each other up. That's our God-given responsibility. See, when you pray, things happen. But not only things happen, but spectators recognize something happened. They recognize that something is going on in their life they can't explain, and they don't know why it's going on. But heaven will reveal it's because you prayed back here for them. God just has the ability to lay somebody on your heart and for you to intervene to God for them. When spectators recognize a change, verse number 12 says people become curious. Verse number 12 puts it this way. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people and said, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we made this man walk?" People knew something went on. They recognized that God worked. It's important for us to pray so that spectators can see that God is working in our midst, that God is doing something unique and powerful, because individuals are a burden for other individuals for God to work in their lives. I don't know the need of every heart in this place. You may be wrestling with something that no one in this building knows, but God knows. And if we pray that God will somehow give you the answer or the support or the strength or the wisdom to carry on, and God answers that prayer, it's because somebody prayed for you. God has the ability to take and discern and decipher or to spread it out so that God answers your prayer. How he does that is beyond our understanding, but God has that ability. See, people thought that was because Peter was so spiritually powerful. No, it's because God answered prayer. Because Peter and John spent time with God back here. They were part of that group of disciples that was in the upper room that prayed in such a way that when Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, people from 9 different languages heard God speak to their hearts. I do not have the ability to speak in another language. I wouldn't recognize another language if you spoke it. I may recognize maybe 1 or 2 words in Spanish, but that's all. Maybe 1 or 2 in French. Maybe 1 or 2 in Koine Greek, which is a dead language. But God has the ability to make it work. And then in verse number 19, Peter announced to this group of people, the same group of people that was influential and asking for the crucifixion of the Lord. He said to them, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." People ask Jesus into their heart, all their past sins are gone. Not only are they gone, but he gives you a new spirit. He makes you a new creature. He makes you want to serve him. And he makes part of that is to help you to help others come to the saving knowledge of the Lord. If it's just a word of encouragement, if it's, "Can I pray for you?" Or can I do whatever God lays on your heart? I got a strange look. I don't know, it's been a year or so ago. I had preached in another church a couple times, and I can remember this single mom. She had a teenage son. And I remember walking out of the parking lot and seeing the car that they drove and wondering if it was going to make it. And God laid on my heart to do something for this particular lady. So I went to that church, not scheduled to preach. God made sure I didn't have a place to preach. And I did what God told me to do and give that gift to her. And she basically asked me why, and I said, God told me to do it. I've never seen her since. I probably will never see her again unless I'm invited to that church and she happens to be there. But when God lays something on your heart, go do it. It may be small in your eyes, but it's the answer that they've been praying for. I know what it's like to be on the receiving end, because there's been times in my life that things were not going so well. And it's indeed a blessing beyond description to be able to do something for somebody else. If it's money that God tells you to give, you might as well give it, because you can't take it with you. So you might as well give it. Get some eternal rewards for it. God asks you to go do something for somebody or take them to the grocery store, whatever it is. Go do it. God just has a way of taking care of you. I worked with a lady one time, 30-some years ago. I saw her at Walmart, which is unusual, because that's the only time I've ever seen her at Walmart. And we said hello and how you doing, all that. She was there just as a chauffeur. Somebody had to go to Walmart to get something, so she drove them. Took them back home. It's just a simple 5-mile drive for her. But whatever God lays on your heart to do, do it. This church will change when we become generous in our time and the things that we do for the glory of God. If God's spoken to your heart about doing something, then I say, you better do it. Because if you don't, you're going to miss out. And they may miss out because of our selfishness. May we be generous with God. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for your love, your grace. Thank you for this time together. I ask, Lord, that you guide us and direct us. That you would touch our hearts to speak up for the glory of Christ, to get up and do whatever you lead us to do, to pray for whoever you ask us to pray for. That our hearts and our minds may be open and obedient to the leadership of God for the work of Jesus Christ. For we ask and pray in his name, for his sake. Amen. Amen. Shall